Welcome to Rise of the Rule Lords Unchained. It is I, your monstrous and furry Rule Lord, Pete. And today we are going to be going over a new Kickstarter to help amplify your game, Monstrous Beasts by Eldritch Osiris Games, the first ever co-op that is focused on Pathfinder 2E materials. So I actually have three of the contributing authors here today, each of who will introduce themselves, starting with James.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Beck. You could typically find me over at Deadly D8, but I am one of the founders of Eldritch Osiris Games who decided, hey, let's make this a co-op. I don't need money or shares of my own company. So yeah, I'm so happy to be here, but happy to be back. This is my second time over here on the Rise of the Rule Lords. And yeah, super excited to talk about this.
Very excited to have you on. And for the first time joining us is Matt.
Hello, my name is Matt, possibly better known as CoMatthew6 on Reddit, Twitter, and Twitch.
Infamously.
And YouTube, I guess. I am the project lead for Monstrous Beasts, and I'm really excited to share a lot of the things that we have in store for all of you.
And last but not least, Luigi.
Hello, I am here to butcher the entirety of the English dictionary. I am also Matthew Setsi's secretary and EOG's diversity hire, also known as the quote-unquote writer and art director, Luigi Lisa.
I'm so glad to have all of you on here to talk about this really exciting project that you'll be releasing, which is now available to back on Kickstarter, where you have actually already gotten funded and passed your first stretch goal. Woo! As of the time of recording, hopefully by the time this releases, you all are much further because I think it deserves it. But for those listeners who haven't come across the Kickstarter, what's the pitch for this book, Monstrous Beasts, and what should people expect to get out of it?
So this whole idea started way back in June. I think James and I had a couple of convergent ideas. I had created a bunch of animal companions and a couple of specializations along the way. And then they had a bunch of stuff that they had written as well. And basically James came up to me and was like, do we want to make this a really big thing? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we started writing just a bunch of extra material, not just on animals, because this was originally strictly animals, but we expanded it to both animals and beasts, which is how we came up with Monstrous Beasts. We originally had the title Monstrous Beasts and How to Ride Them, but the project became so much more than that we ended up going with Monstrous Beasts and How to Friend Them.
That's excellent, because this book is chock-a-block with, not just animal companions, which, would seem to just be restrictive to the druid class, the ranger. Then there's a couple dedications, the Beastmaster dedication. But you guys have really gone out to make this a book for everyone, it seems. So how can other players interact with this book, aren't in those niches? And even for the ones that are playing rangers, strictly, animal companion focused classes, what can they really get out of this?
Well, we wanted to make sure that as many players could get covered. Recently, Paizo has been putting out a lot of books that are heavily themed. Book of the Dead, obviously about the dead, Dark Archive, about the weird and unusual paranormal, stuff that we really love here over at EUG. So we wanted to bring that theme. And so we kind of took that model and started to extend that out to Monstrous Beasts. So let's say you're not a druid or a ranger. Well, we have plenty of archetypes for you to take, or even expanding on existing archetypes like the cavalier, where we have such expansions as the horse archer archetype that really lets you pull off more ranged combat while also utilizing whatever beast you happen to be upon. We really wanted to show off a lot of what was capable. And because we hit our first stretch goal at the time of this recording, now even GMs can get some bigger use out of it on top of the creatures that are in here already. We now have a fourth level adventure just sat right there waiting to be thrown into the book. So this thing is only getting thicker by the day.
So yeah, you've added a couple new things too for the barbarian, which are increases to different animal instincts. You've got insect, dinosaur. But then one thing that you have in here that's really interesting is the archetype that you have for the spirit. So tell me a bit about that archetype.
One of the things that I really find fascinating and really cool is the character Nightwolf from Mortal Kombat, or Vixen from DC Comics, where you can call upon the spirit of an animal and that enhances your ability. So I really wanted that to translate with the spirit animal archetype. And it's really, really simple. With the dedication, you're going to get trained in a couple skills, but also you're going to get the call spirit animal action, which depending on what animal you choose, you get a special benefit. It's very much kind of like rage in a sense, where it lasts for a minute, but you can, the difference here is you can spend an action and switch what animal you're benefiting from. There are feats that will expand what animals you have access to, perhaps make your certain actions easier to use, allowing you to switch between multiple animals in a turn, essentially kind of letting you replicate the play style that these characters could bring, but also really connect you more with the whole beast and nature themes that we have going. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about a couple of the companions that you have, because they go from, you know, the mundane to the unexpected to the weird sometimes, which is all really, really great. So tell us a bit about how you chose the animal companions that you did and what went into designing them so that it, you know, they felt like ones that you could actually play with, because you have some in here, you know, that make a lot of sense for a fantasy campaign. Owlbear, Hippogriff, Viper. But then there's some that, you know, some people might raise their eyebrows at, like Penguin or Frog. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that, Matt.
Sure. So when I was running through the list of animal companions while making my third Beastmaster Ranger, I was looking at all the animals that Paizo had released and then considered thinking about the ones that they hadn't. So most of them are going to be predators. So you see the viper, you see the frog, you see the eel, you see the billfish. Those are the kinds of animals that, though they're not exactly the most common, they still would fit the theme of animal companion because they have this innate power and have the killer instinct that most people would associate with these sorts of tropes. And then you get into some of the more exclusive ones, such as the owlbear, such as the bullet. These are the sorts of iconic beasts that you see in media, especially the owlbear. We've had plenty of discussions on that creature over the past couple of months, so I don't need to explain my rationale there, but being able to include such an iconic creature to be by your side is definitely something that I thought needed to be included.
So not only do you have all of these really cool new companions, but you get to interact with them a lot more. You've got these advanced options. You've got these barbarian instincts. You can change into them with the animal form. So will those changes only work for your creatures, or are they going to expand out into the animal companions that we already have, Paizozels?
It will be compatible with both our material and Paizo's material, in the sense that we will offer new animal instincts. For the barbarian, we offer new options for the animal instinct. Some of them are from Paizo's, you know, catalog that they just probably haven't gotten to yet, or they don't want to really go back in touch. You know, I get it, because, you know, they have, well, let's just be honest here, they're Paizo. They're busy all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we gave players the options that Paizo already has for their animal companions, but then also brought in our own. So the Animal Instinct Barbarian has options that are from this book. The expansion on the animal form will also be expanded upon with Paizo's and with ours. So for instance, animal form, we're offering tons of new forms that people can take, as well as specific actions that depend on each animal. So one of the things that with the current battle form is that you can get these basic actions such as strike, However, we now give you an action if you are a canine or if you're a bull or, you know, so on and so forth, even adding new aquatic options because, you know, not every campaign happens on land. So mm-hmm. we really wanted to give you more options regardless of if you're using Paizo's or if you're using ours. We just really want you to have the most amount of fun with beast related things.
Yeah. And that seems especially true with these advanced options that you're introducing, which seem to kind of be like the weak or elite trait or the cryptid or undead traits that you can add to beasts in the bestiary. But you're adding these to animal companions like aberrant, augmented, kami, verdant. Personally, I'm really interested to know, like, what does an ominous turtle look like in this game?
Okay, so hi, Luigi here. When I first got into the project, I didn't have much experience on wildlife within the game, but I did have some experience about culture, mysticism, and what things symbolize to people. So I started doing some research about the impact of animals in history, and I came to the conclusion that a lot of mythologies and a lot of fantasies, and also in pop culture, we have a concept of an animal that brings bad luck, like for example some kind of bird or a black cat. So I wanted to use this as an opportunity to write the ominous advanced option and let your animal companion help you against fortune effects and also help you intimidate people. So to respond to your question, I think an ominous turtle would probably have some strange patterns on their shell that anyone could interpret that as like a bad omen. Maybe they would be swirling and changing colors, and turtle can just stare at you without moving. I think that would be like very creepy.
Awesome. So how do you people like get these advanced options? Are they ones that they can just choose, or is it from a special feat? How do they get them added on?
So there are two ways to get these. The first way for the advanced options is to take Incredible Companion, usually available at 8th level for Druids and Beastmasters, or 10th level for Rangers. Generally speaking, when you gained the Incredible Companion option, you could pick between Nimble, Savage, Indomitable, or I think it's Geniekin. But this adds on to the list of options you can take. So instead of being Nimble or Savage, you could be a Fey Companion, be a Draconic Companion, that sort of thing. Gotcha. And then specialization comes 6 levels thereafter, so 14 or 16. Sometimes you're restricted to just one. I believe Ranger is restricted to just one, but Beastmasters and Druids can take up to 3 specializations. So some of these ones I had a really, really fun time writing. The first one was Extraordinary Mount.
Yes.
That one allows you to ride any companion, whether it's a bird or a shark or anything in between.
Like the penguin?
Yes, like the penguin. If you have a large enough penguin and your character is small enough, theoretically, you could ride a giant penguin into battle. So giving these companions the mount trait is pretty awesome, but I did need to keep balancing in mind. Having a bird companion with a 60-foot fly speed and being able to ride it does seem a bit suspect balance-wise. So I had to include the caveat that if you're using a speed other than its land speed, it's halved while it's mounted. Other than that, I did want to toy around with reactions, because animal companions have the minion trait and they don't normally get those. There are some exceptions. The orc has ferocious beasts, which gives them orc ferocity. And the vulture also has Feast of the Fallen, which gives itself temporary hit points whenever it scores a kill. So I wanted to play around with that. And one of the specializations I really did like was Helpful. Not only does it give you a boost to its wisdom, you can use, when you command your animal companion, you can use one of its actions to prepare aid. So it can use a reaction to aid you in the middle of combat, which is not something that Paizo has done. So putting that out there gives animal companions more utility rather than just being stat sticks, more or less.
Right. Well, that is a lot of great options for having a furry or scaly or feathery companion. at your side, and something I've actually wanted to be able to do for some time now if I ever got to play. But one of the really exciting parts is that you also put a lot of dedication into equipment for your companion. You've added all these different kinds of saddles, these different kinds of armors that you can give to them. So what went into designing the saddles and the equipment for the animal companions that differs from creating something for players?
Items is something that is really unique in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, I would say, compared to a few other TTRPGs like 1st Edition, where each item has a level and it has a specific either trait or usage that, you know, we typically don't see a lot. And so one of the cool things that Pathfinder 2nd Edition really allows us to do is kind of go buck wild with it. I'm sorry for the little pun right there. But essentially, the idea behind it was to show people the amount of options you can have. So one of the examples I love talking about when it comes to our saddles is we have a item that lets you shoot bombs from your saddle. So your animal companion, guess what, just became a walking tank.
Is that the mortar saddle?
I don't even remember the name off the top of my head, to be honest. I have been looking at these things for so long. It is the mortar saddle. It is. Yeah, I've been staring at this stuff for 2 months, okay? It's been a lot.
Sure.
But yeah, we wanted to kind of show people the different ways Pathfinder 2nd Edition really allows us to be creative. So we even have options for like a phoenix saddle. And so it's all about generating heat and all these other cool things. The reason why items are so important in Pathfinder is just because the way that I would say 2E has really allowed that skeleton to be built upon. And so the reason why we have so many unique items to say is because we can. I don't want to sound a little arrogant there, but you know, we see no reason why not to give people more crazy options in Pathfinder. It seems to be something the community loves. I don't know how many times I'm browsing Twitter and, you know, they go, "Oh my God, this thing in Impossible Lands. Did you see this cool feat that did this crazy thing? Or the unexpected sharpshooter has that really cool 14th level feat where they can do anything." You know, like, that's the kind of stuff we love to give people. Mm-hmm. And so hence a lot of the inspiration for the items that we create with this. It is definitely a joint effort between all of us.
Yeah. And one of the more interesting bits of equipment that you have are these animal emblems, which seem to work a lot of consumable items work. So what are animal emblems? How do they work? And how do they differ from the kind of worn items that we already know how to use, Luigi?
Well, the animal emblems are like items or sacred symbols made of metal, wood, or stone that are imbued with the grace of tutelary spirits. Have you ever watched the movie Brother Bear?
Yes, great movie.
Yeah, yes, I love it. I think James was not born yet when he first came to the movie. So the idea behind the animal emblems is that you get to pick one animal that becomes your tutelary spirit, and it gives you one passive benefit and one act. These benefits are inspired by historical pop culture references, but also how the animals usually behave. For example, we have the wolf, which in this case signifies determination and a strong sense of community. And this allows you to track at full speed. And also once per day, you can, as a single action, stride and then attempt to trip a creature that had damaged an ally within the last day. We have like how many of these? 20 right now. I managed to sneak in some animals that are based on Inca mythology from Peru. Mm-hmm. Which are the puma, the condor, and the snake. So I always have this agenda of sneaking Peruvian stuff into my body. And yes, because of their exalting properties, just like Brother Bear, you only get to use one of these emblems at the same time. So you can only choose the wolf or the peacock or the owl, etc.
Very similar to the totem rules that already exist, but sounds a lot more perhaps respectful of the cultures where those originate from. Yeah.
Oh, yes. They were going to be called the animal totems at first, but we decided that Aspice also took some distance from that word because of real world references. We decided to change it to animal emblems as well.
I've also buried the lead a bit because, you know, even if you're not super into animal companions, you know, even if you're going to stick to some of your more traditional, there's one thing that most of us can all get behind, which is ancestries. And there is a brand new one being introduced here where I'm going to insert a little clip now. Yes, it's the crab folk people. And I really love the art for these guys. It looks like a crab with giant eyes, legs, huge claws. So tell us about this new ancestry and what players can look forward
to. Absolutely. The Brachian ancestry, colloquially known as the crab folk, is going to be our ancestry that we're releasing alongside or with Monstrous Beast. So this was something that I had seen on Twitter. They were like, why aren't there your crab folk? Well, now there is. So you're welcome. To start off with their personalities, they have a very tight sense of community. They're very in tune with the other people that are around them. As a result, even though that they are not very often seen on Galarian, they do get along very readily with dwarves who also share similar sentiments. They have a lot of respect for the circle of life. With their deceased family, they oftentimes will repurpose their exoskeletons for tools or armor, or quite possibly in the case of fertilizer, depending on how the dying wish to be represented in the next life. On a more mechanical terms, they have bonuses to constitution and wisdom, just like the dwarves, but their penalty is to dexterity. Their hard shells make it a bit difficult for them to get around. They are amphibious, and they have a bunch of very interesting ancestry feats that I spent quite some time considering. The first one, and I'm working on some more of these, is the Crab Rave feat, where they get training in performance and the fascinating performance skill feat. This will evolve into more interesting in-combat abilities down the line. Other than that, they have a couple of hydromancy abilities where they gain some water-based spells, summon animal where they can summon a swarm of crabs. They also have feats revolving around their pincers, so they can take a feat to gain an unarmed attack, which deals piercing damage, and then gain another feat later down the line that deals an additional amount of bludgeoning damage on top of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that this is an ancestry that a lot of people are going to get a lot of use out of. I really like the scuttle reaction that you have, which seems a lot like, you know, the kind of cute little addition similar to like the kobolds cringe or, you know, scamper.
I unfortunately can't take credit for this one. this is exactly the same feat as the goblin scuttle. I just removed goblin from the title.
Oh, gotcha. Well, it fits, and that's all that really matters. This is a great look ancestry, but a book of beasts wouldn't be complete, I don't think, if you didn't have some monsters for us, the GMs, to be able to throw at players. And luckily, you do. And there are some really nice ones in here, like Ashcat, or my personal favorite, the First Dragon. So tell us about making these creatures for your Book of Beasts.
As you said, obviously GMs need love too, and so we definitely wanted to add in new creatures for people to play with. The Ashcat, for example, that people can find on the Kickstarter page, was drawn by Victoria, who is a member over at EOG and is Gloria on Deadly D8, did the art for it. And it's this really cool cat that has like smoke entrails coming from it, and it can use this to its advantage. It's a fairly low level creature, only a creature level 5, but there is an animal companion option if you wanted this to have it, for example. But my personal favorite is the first dragon, where it is like the first ever dragon to ever be made. And mm-hmm. so it's these rare sect, I guess, of dragons that are very dinosauristic, I would say. Like a
based off of the artwork, it looks like a, for those of you who like dinosaurs, a Baryonyx or a Spinosaurus, but without the large fin for the Spinosaur, and with tiny little wings that don't seem like it should be able to help the creature fly at all.
A little fun fact about that, it can't fly. It it has a move speed of 40 feet and a climb speed of 30. So it's not exactly, you know, flying anywhere anytime soon. However, it is still magic enhanced. It has an absorb energy reaction, which lets it gain a little bit of resistance and then deal additional damage based on the energy type that it absorbed. It is a really, really fun thought experiment, in my opinion, of what happened when magic and evolution start playing hand in hand. You know, not in the Pokemon sense, where if I level up this creature enough, it'll evolve into whatever the next evolution stage, but a little bit more of a Darwinistic approach.
Yeah, like how there are, you know, still a couple of unchanged creatures. Man, why can't I remember? Like the horseshoe crab has largely gone unchanged. There's that fish he just rediscovered Heligoplax is something. Man, I'm gonna lose my
even
paleontology credentials.
Yes. like even forms of alligators and crocodiles, they were used to be these really large megafauna, and some would argue well, if they're big enough, they could be counted. But yeah, there are remnants even in today's society on Earth. You know, not as cool as, you know, fantasy realms, I'll admit that, but I could do without you know, my village being burned down by a dragon.
Yeah. And I yeah, like this little bit of lore that you have of that they can speak a rough and early form of Draconic, though they are scarcely as intelligent as modern makes. That's just like a neat piece of lore that this is basically the cavemen of dragon. And I think that that's an awesome addition to this game. And then you have some others in here, the Serpire, Poxfrog, Boarworm. Have any additional details about those you can give to us?
I'd love to talk about the Poxfrog, which is currently in, at the time of this recording, is in art commission. So I don't know when this releases, whether it'll be out or not, but I can at least tell you a little bit about it. It's this massive abominable toad covered in bleary eyes. It is this really fascinating creature that it causes a disease called Ipox, which is a magical disease, and it spreads to their victims, essentially causing eyes to sprout all over whatever the victim's body is, making them, various conditions depending on the saving throw. And it has light sensitivity because it's not really native to the material plane. They prefer like a little bit more of a darker region, I would say. But yeah, they have this really, really cool abilities. I can't wait to see what the art looks like. And yeah, we have a ton of different options with even more coming. So
yes,
one of the really, really cool things is that we are still going with stretch goals. And with certain stretch goals, we get new writers. And these writers are going to come in and bring in new companions and new creatures. And so at the time of this recording, we're on our way to making that first stretch goal, where we're going to bring in some well-known Pathfinder 2E names, such as Aubrey from Goblets and Gaze, Aki, also from Goblets and Gaze, and PJ from Wayward Arcadium, who also, you know, guess what? That stars Aubrey and Aki. So, you know what? I got a 3-for-1 deal on this one. It happens that I'm nice enough with all of them that they accepted it.
Yes.
But yeah, this is scratching the surface, to say the least, and we're really, really excited.
Yeah, I actually wanted to touch on the stretch goals, because you're releasing them sort of as things come out. So by the time that this podcast releases, hopefully there's more out. But tell us, can you give us a preview or hint about some more of the stretch goals that might be coming if people join up now and can help add on to this project?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. I got some of who I consider the best and the best in the industry, but also Pathfinder 2E names that you might recognize. So we had Paizos. That's right, Paizos, because it's official by the time the project ends. Dustin Knight to come on and write some material for Pathfinder Infinite, which will be its own PDF that uses Galarian-based monsters. So if you want something that's a little bit more native to a region, let's say you're running Strength of Thousand or Age of Ashes, so on and so forth, you can use creatures that are inherently found in there. One of the cool things is the 6K Metamorph class, which is I described as like a Ben 10-ish like class, where you can kind of shapeshift into various creatures and get certain benefits depending on which ones you have morphed into. The art that we have on the page is our Gripply iconic morphing into a Velociraptor, because we wanted this theme of beasts. And so the Gripply has not been an iconic as the time of the recording. So we made it sure it was first on the list of classes.
We need more Shuni iconic. More. I'm going to get a shirt.
But yeah, we, with like bigger names coming down the line, we have Amber, also known as the Space Jamber at 10K, which is going to write the Gator Folk, which is currently an art commission once more. Hopefully we can have something to show off there. But other really popular Pathfinder 2E names, like Pete from Rise of the Rune Lords. I don't know who that guy is, but he sounds cool.
How'd you get him?
I really asked for something weird, and he was just like, yeah, sure, here's this draft I had of some Nautic system. I don't know. I didn't read it. It was some nerd crap. I don't know. But yeah, we have, obviously Pete, which is our lovely host here. But we also have MacArthur for Deadly D8, because obviously two of us work very, very closely with him. A few other big Pathfinder 2E names down the line, such as Aaron Shanks, Vanessa Hodgkins, and a few more 2E creators that I really wanted to have on the project. We want to get back to the community and show the community we know that we're a part of it, and we know who are the bigger names, so to say. And so we've been definitely making sure we can get some really, really cool people that have made Pathfinder 2E what it is today and what got us to this point. And so, yeah, expect to see some really, really cool names. And if it's a Pathfinder 2E creator that you know, they're probably working with us on this project as a stretch goal writer. even like, you know, Icarus, Anto from Icarus Games, who's recently joined the Pathfinder 2E scene, part of my language here, fucking swinging with those videos recently. He has definitely started making his way through the community in a loving manner, of course.
Yes.
No, he's been doing a great job. But yeah, we have a ton of cool names that we absolutely can't wait to get on this project. We want to make sure this book is filled to the brim as possible. And I will reveal a hint here and a little spoiler that we have not shared anywhere else. But yet, high enough, we'll add another class.
Ooh.
We'll add two classes to the book. I won't say what it is yet, but you know, hopefully by the time this is recording, we could say enough about it. It's a stretch goal, so no promises quite yet.
Yeah, always need those new classes for those players who are hungry to create characters that they'll never get to. But
that's why we have the Path Builder tier, so you can at least make forges of those characters. You know,
right?
You might not get a chance to play them, but hey, you know, you could now get from 250 to 350 new characters with just using one class. So imagine with two, the insanity that would cause.
Well, the title of the book, again, is Monstrous Beasts, A Guide to Friend Them. The link is going to be in the show notes. Please go support them. It's going to be happening all throughout the month of November. And then hopefully after that, you'll still be able to get it with pre-orders, backer kits, all that good stuff. But get on it now so we can get some of those cool stretch goals. But if people want to find more of you three as individuals, where can they go to follow you and see what other project? James?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm James Beck. I am at GeekJames513 on Twitter, where I rant and rave about Pathfinder constantly. It's never ending, and I feel oh so bad for the Paizo employees who have to see that on their Twitter feeds. Outside that, I am often on the Lost Caravan running either Pathfinder or, in this case, for last month, I was running a lot of Locust, which is a horror-based TTRPG. It was really, really fun. And yeah, and Gardner's Guide, which is a project that I'm working on, which got funded literally the day of this recording, got their 100. So I'll be writing a ton of weird options revolving plants. So I've got beasts, I've got plants. I don't know what else I'm missing in terms of nature.
Fungi.
Okay, that's it. Gardner's Guide will have more fungi options. Yeah, I'll beg for a new versatile heritage.
Excellent.
Yeah, you could just find me all around the Pathfinder 2e sphere. I'll probably, it's my summoning word, so if you just say Pathfinder, I'll just, like, you know, like a little mercat, just
dipping your hand in all the next is Matt. Where can people find more of you?
Sure, I stream 3 or 4 nights a week at twitch.tv/comat6. I've been playing a lot of Domekeeper and Fall Guys, a little bit of Jackbox in there. It's a good time. You should check out the stream. I'd be more than happy to drop whatever conversation I'm currently having to talk about Pathfinder 2nd Edition. So don't be afraid to come in and derail the current topic.
And Luigi.
Well, if you know a little bit of Spanish, you can find me on Instagram as Ente Flotante. But if not, you can always find me on Twitter as @LuigiLisa. There you can read a little bit of my creative process, of the dramas inside DFG, read some teasers for upcoming products, and maybe potentially in the future some thirst traps as well. Yes, those are... I see James laughing from here, but hey, I have bills to pay. So, yes, that's...
I'm in college. I'm very aware of what bills are right now. I'm just 29. See my debt going up.
I'm 29. You have no idea, Jed.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah. Nope, they only get worse the older you get.
Yeah, well, you're not even paying for your own health insurance.
Let me skiv off my parents just for a few more years, okay?
7 more years. The glory days.
Please go back the Monstrous Beasts Kickstarter, and as my own little boost, you'll find not only Eldritch Osiris Games, but also many other third-party content creators at Third Party Con, which you can find more information about shortly. But it's basically going to be the PaizoCon of third-party content, where we're going to have games featuring third-party content, classes, ancestries, and the scenarios that you hear about on my podcast, as well as other things that are on Infinite or other third-party platforms, as well as streams with content creators, podcasters, freelancers, developers, all of those good things. So keep a lookout for more information about that on my page at RuleLord2E on Twitter, or you can always email me at RuleLord2E@gmail.com if you have any other questions about it, or if you want to talk about your content either on the podcast or on my offshoot show called Infinite Adventures. Will be premiering next time with the Necromancer class by Samurai Sheepdog. But until next session,
we are totally not a hive mind. Don't let the rules rule you.